this Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Who's that I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood.
Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good.
Hey, and I'll tell you what else is looking good. You may know us and you may love us, but you don't want to follow us home. I think of the Goat Man whenever I hear this, Chris, because of that great little video that he did. People aren't going to understand what I'm talking about, but you will. And then he just, the Little Red Riding Hood just left. So, the guys you love and hate and don't want to follow home, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer for Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, here to provide you with some great insight and answers to your car questions if you have them. And if
that's
not,
it, yeah, we call it insight.
If not, we'll make them up. Yeah, we'll make them up as we go because we have enough of our own to.
Right. It's the insight that smells funny. But anyway.
Yeah. Right? Isn't that the truth?
It's an open phone hour, and I'm glad because I always like when you and I talk to each other. It's always a lot of fun. But I do want to start this program off with something that. A new thing, a new item, a new project, a new segment of this program. And I like to call it Up Ray's Wheelhouse.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. All right.
And the reason why is because unlike Quiz the Swizz, these are questions. It's only one question. So this is the first of hopefully many questions that only Ray can answer.
Yeah, all right.
Only you can answer this.
All right.
Okay. Well, I will give you the scenario.
Let's go. What do you got?
So my freezer in my other domicile is dying.
Okay.
So in the freezer I have a half box of Nestle's drumsticks. Ice cream.
Oh, I was thinking for like the drum set. Okay, sorry.
So, of course, I grab a drumstick out of the freezer, and it's soft and mushy, and I start eating it over the sink, and it's falling apart as I'm eating it just to get rid of them. So, of course, what movie line comes to mind as I'm eating it? Ray Guarino, what is up your wheelhouse?
Well, you see, first off, I'm a little flummoxed here because when you said Nestle, which I associated with chocolate, then you said drumsticks, right. And I was thinking of like Weaver's frozen drumsticks. And then when you said you were eating it, I'm thinking,
focus on the ice cream. Yeah, well, focus on the ice cream.
I wasn't even on ice cream. I was on chocolate. And then when you said drumstick, I was thinking of like the chicken. I'm thinking, why is he eating like Mujahid chicken drumsticks? Like, this is going to go bad right from the start. So I'm really off kilter on this. I understand.
You're off kilter.
I do understand now what you're talking about, but.
All right.
But and
if I'm eating an ice cream, if I'm eating an ice cream because the freezer is dying, what movie line?
Have a popsicle. Come on. The freezer's out. Have a popsicle, please. They're going to melt. Wolfman Jack, of course. American Graffiti. Yes.
I'm eating the ice cream over the sink yesterday, I should say. like, I mean, have a popsicle. Have a creamsicle. Right. A popsicle.
Come on, the freezer's broke. Right.
The freezer's broke. Have a popsicle.
There you go.
So that's just something that I thought about 3 minutes ago.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's good. And if for all the people out there who may be listening or may not be, who knows, sleeping
anymore.
If they wake up, if their phone is working, they can call 516-572-7440 and get in on this madness. Or they can.
That's right.
Also, they should follow us on social media to see what we're doing on. We're Motor Mouth Radio on the internet and on Facebook, Faccia Bruta, and of course on Twitter and on Instagram. It's real_Motor Mouth Radio. And that's where we put up pictures of things that we get involved with during the week and
that's
all sorts of
right.
stuff. So anyway, just to get that out.
We're annoying listeners three at a time here at the automotive world.
We're trying. Yeah, we're trying. So
516-572-7440. So my week has been smattered with automotive maladies and little faux pas here and there. How about yours?
Okay. It hasn't been. I washed
what?
Two cars yesterday. Yeah, I really didn't work on anything this week. Well, little projects. I'm doing little projects. I'm in a different pattern now of doing things. So, and no big jobs. I do, after having done that major brake upgrade on the FJ, I did see when I was under the front of it, that I'm going to need to change the sway bar links because the boots had ripped. And those are those tall Asian ones. And also the axles. I'm going to change both axles because the outer CV boot was not ripped. It just, like, came apart. I could probably pump grease into the thing and put a band clamp on there. I probably could do that if I had to.
You know, one time in band clamp.
No, yeah, it's just, I know. But so that's going to be coming down the road. But I tell you something, I don't know what I'm going to do because, okay, the story, of course, has tentacles. When I bought the parts, I was, you know, the rotors.
It's only an hour show, remember. It's
I know.
Only an hour show.
The rotors and the pads came from a place called R1 Concept. So we should have a rep from that show on next week with us, a fella named Jack.
Right, yes.
Great stuff. But I needed rear calipers. And, you know, they sell, like, aftermarket high post stuff. I didn't need that. I just needed regular replacement calipers and hoses. And believe it or not, Rock Auto didn't have them. It was back ordered. And someone else I looked at didn't have no back order. But carparts.com, this isn't an endorsement for them, but I'm just telling you what I did. That's the old J.C. Whitney, believe it or not.
Come on, really? You mean if I need that station wagon mud flap hanging down the back bumper, I can get it from there?
I don't know. I don't know if they still have that old inventory. It seems everything has changed, and the website, of course, isn't branded J.C. Whitney anymore.
Do you mean if I'm looking for the cat that sits on the shelf with the two red eyes that hook up to my signal lights? That when one signal light, you activate one signal light, one eye and the cat would blink and then you activate. You mean I can get that from carpart.com? Son of a gun.
No, I think you have to put your cat back on the lid and like make it blow smoke in its eye or something. So I haven't investigated the site to see if they have all those cool accessories like the VW section, the Jeep section. Remember J.C. Whitney had those sections in the catalog.
Yeah.
But they had the calipers.
Oh, wow.
And they weren't that expensive. It was like, you know, $34-$36 a piece. It was very affordable. So I ordered them from them and I got them. And then I found out, of course, there was a core return. They charge you pretty heavy for the cores, but okay. So I wrote to them. I said, listen, can I get a return label for the core return? And they said, well, you know, we don't offer, basically they were saying, you got to pay for the shipping for the core return. It's not on us. It's on you. And I'm thinking, wow, these two things in a box, like 16 pounds. I'm like, this is, you know, now it's going to cost a little chunk. I'm thinking, now I'm kicking myself for not going to the local store and buying them where I could have returned them, you know, walked up there and returned them in person and not paid for shipping and not had to box them and go to my wife wouldn't have had to go to the UPS place. Let's face it, we delegate.
You're a lucky man.
I know.
You are a lucky man.
And it just ticked me off a little that I had to do that. So just this morning, I left them some feedback. They wanted feedback, and I gave it to them, and I said just that. Mm-hmm. You know, I could have – and I didn't do a a penny by penny analysis, it might have came out to the same amount of money. Like the local store might have charged me a little more, but I wouldn't have had to pay for the shipping, you know, so who knows? It could have been a wash. It was just the fact that we're used to doing things a certain way. And that core charge was sticking in my craw. So now I'm thinking they also had the axles and they had a good price. They were like, it was about 70, 80 bucks a piece, but they had a package. You buy both of them because they're the same length, believe it or not, and left side, which I doubted until I double checked. And it was like,
that's interesting.
Yeah. And it was like 150 bucks for the pair. I'm like, okay, that's a good price.
That's great.
But my question is now, is there a core charge on those axles? Because some places will take them back and rebuild. It's a rebuildable part.
Good question. Because I've actually had to deal with core charges on axles, and then I didn't. There was a time, like on my Subarus, they were like, no, take them.
Right.
You don't. There's actually a very good axle sitting up on a shelf in my garage from one of my Subarus that I don't have the heart to throw it away because it's a good axle.
Well,
yeah.
The fact that I couldn't see, and I didn't see it on the calipers either. I didn't see anything that said, you know, ship it back. You ship it back, no, they're not telling you that. So now I'm hesitant to order the axles from them. I want to make sure, so I'm going to have to email them. And that was, I'm just going to wait on that. But I'll tell you what I did do when I was driving the Mazda. I needed a driver's side axle. Mm-hmm. The boot had gone bad, and you know, back just for clarification, in the old days we would change the boots. You would literally take the axle out of the knuckle. Sometimes you could do it in the car. You didn't if it was an outer. And
I've done it.
Yeah, and what you would do
pull the axle apart,
take the axle apart, re-grease it, and put in a new boot. And, yeah. But those days are pretty much gone. That's, no one really does that anymore. And that was
I remember ordering a boot kit for a Civic, a Honda Civic. And it was basically because I was poor.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't afford the axle at the time. But I ordered the boot kit, and I think it was under 20 bucks.
Oh, yeah, they were cheap.
And I remember showing up, and I had like a whole afternoon to kill, and I took the axle apart, separated it. Took the old boot out, put the new boot in, and reassembled the axle. No problem.
They came out later with what was called a quick boot. And the quick boot, instead of being a one piece boot that you had to remove the axle from the hub, it was split, and you could cut the old boot off, clean out the grease, repack the grease, and this boot, as you opened it up, you slid it over, and at every pleat, there was a little screw and nut you had to put in.
Yep.
And now your hands are greasy, and you're down. And it was like a 440 or 556 thread screw. It wasn't even a six. It was probably metric. And I hated those things. I'm like, I'd rather take the axle. But when I had to do the Mazda, I needed a driver's side axle, and I looked at both. The other side was good. And I said, you know what? I'm buying both sides because I know when one goes, the other's going to go the next week. Well,
sure.
Now sitting in the back of the car for the next owner is the passenger side axle because I didn't use it. But the thing I'm afraid of on the FJ is those trucks are prone to rust underneath, and this one has it too. They all get it. And I don't know, you got the axle nut to deal with, which, I have the power for that. But I've worked on some cars where literally once you pull the nut, you can just push the axle and pull the hub in opposite directions and they just fall apart.
Yeah.
And other ones where you just pull it out of the transmission and they come out. And I've had other ones where you had to beat them and
fought it.
Oh, yeah. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
You fought them.
I don't know. And again, I'm thinking, this may be the time. This may be the job where I'll have to see if I can finagle my way back onto the lift to do it in the shop so that I am. Because literally, when I did those brakes crouching down, I was a mess for like 4 days. My back, my legs were killing me for like 4 days.
Welcome to my world, my son.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to do that one back on the lift. So I have more leverage, and I did see a little thing. I was looking through I have an online manual that I downloaded, and what they showed was on the inner, the big hub of the axle on the inside by the transmission, there's kind of like a slot, and what you do is you take it's a piece of metal that's about maybe 5-6 inches long, and it has a 90-degree curve at the end. But the curve isn't deep. It's only about a half inch. That goes into that slot, and you attach that onto a slide hammer.
And you pop
boom,
the...
Boom, boom, boom. And that's how you pull that axle out. So
pull it out from the transmission, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is nice, because regularly you needed that... That fine precision tool called a crowbar.
Well, and the problem is you can't
jam it in there, which was kind of precarious in itself.
You know, on the inner spline of the axle that goes into the transmission, there is a split ring, and that's what actually holds it in. And those things freeze up sometimes, and that's what stops. I've had a couple. I did a Toyota. Yeah, it was a Toyota car, and I guess it was a Corolla. I have pictures. I should look at them and see. But I couldn't get that axle out of the transmission. Now, the car was in an accident in the right front wheel, so that was all impacted in. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not, but I know I fought with that axle for probably the better part of an hour.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. And it just wouldn't come out. I mean, you get to a point like...
What? Yeah, you can't just pull them out, because the bellows, the rubber bellows, is not going to allow you to do that. It's not like one piece. It's not like a one piece axle. It's many different components. So you have to reach in and try and pull on it, like with your hands in the wheel well. And sometimes, if you're lucky, you got your head in there too, to try and get a force to pull on that thing.
I'll tell you. Luckily, I had, since that was a collision car, the first thing I did is I took the strut assembly with the knuckle and the brakes. Oop, that had to come out because that was all getting replaced. Oh.
So you had the axle just hanging there in front of you.
The wheel well was empty, yeah. And then what I did is I actually took the axle apart. I actually separated the inner CV. I just had the stub sitting in the transmission.
Oh, man.
And
wow.
And now I raised it up on the lift, because that was on the lift, and I was able to get behind it and at this weird angle get a big punch on it and start whacking the heck out of it to try and shock it. And like I said, even that, it was an hour to get that thing out of there.
See, I always think of, like, what kind of damage striking something like that off a delicate piece of machinery like a automatic transmission, to me, is like, oh, I just think about the problems that can ensue from performing that with a hammer and a chisel.
You got to wear eye protection, because the big thing is you don't want to have a chip of that metal coming back and flying at your face.
Oh, no.
That was a funny story with that car. Just as a side note, I asked, like, why is the guy fixing this car? And he said, well, you know, the car actually was in the accident. The insurance company totaled it, because it was I don't know if it was a early 2000 or 99, whatever. It was, you know, a little bit considered an old car. Right. But it was in good shape otherwise. It was, you know, an older couple owned it, so it was in great shape. The engine ran fine. The interior was clean as a whistle. It was in, you know, no other damage. It went to a junkyard. The car was going to be scrapped. It was up on the rack. And then the guy found out that what it was going to cost him to replace it. And it was going to be like, you know, $50,000 for another comparable car. And what they paid him was only, you know, I don't know, a couple thousand dollars, and said, hey, you know what? You know, that's, wow, I'm in a bad spot here. And I think he talked to the adjuster and said, well, you know, you can buy your car back. You can keep it. And what he did is he went back and he went to the junkyard, and, you know, with the help of the insurance company, he ended up buying that car back. So now he bought his junked car back from the insurance company and opted to have it fixed. Wow. So whatever it cost him to buy it back, plus whatever that repair was to him, was more cost effective. And I guess he figured, if he was an older couple, hey, you know, I'm not buying any more new cars. What do I need? And now I have the one I had before, which I know, you know, everything else is, you know, comfortable for us. So, yeah, that was an odd story. You usually don't hear that happening.
No, you usually don't. It's unfortunate, but a lot of times, good cars, because it's not financially feasible, a lot of good cars end up in the junkyard.
Right.
When they could be easily fixed.
For sure.
And just a lot of people just don't want to, no one wants to actually fix a vehicle anymore. God forbid they should do that. Holy smokes, you've been talked out of it so many times. No, don't get under the car if you don't know what you're doing. Remember some people used to say that we knew very well?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, give it a shot.
Well, and now the other thing is, with the, you know, there's a lot of auto parts that are not available. Everything, you know, we talked about this on the Thursday night show. Tony DeFeo just talked about it on one of his last video feeds. which, by the way, we're going to have to decide if we're going to do a live show with him and then schedule something. So keep that in the back of your head.
Sure.
That, you know, we talk about all the barges that are off the coast with everything from household goods to auto, to all of our summer stuff that never got delivered, to auto parts, to furnishings and whatever, because of the truck driver shortage. And, you know, I mean, there's many layers of this thing.
Yes, we're having a shipping issue in this country, yes.
But the reality of it is, without getting into any of that, yes, it is harder to get parts. Like I said, I went to Rock Auto, and they didn't have the brake calipers for a Toyota.
It's sometimes it could be a specialty item, and Rock Auto doesn't have it. Believe me, I have passed through there empty-handed many times on some of the parts that I've been looking for as well. Yeah,
these aren't. This is these, and I know because I look. These are single piston calipers, and it's like they probably put these on a Camry, the same ones that are on the FJ. It's just
they're probably nothing special.
The front one is different. The front one is a 4 or 6 piston. I think it's at least 4. Yeah, it's a 4 piston caliper. So that's it's a bigger piece, and it's a little more specific to the truck. But the rear are definitely not, and they didn't. I was very, very surprised to see they didn't have them. Shipping is the parts availability is a problem. So you have to factor that into. I think now you have to do a lot more due diligence and have your parts in line. Like we used, we like to have our parts before we start the job.
Sure.
I think now you have to start that process, not the week before you're going to do it, maybe a month or so before you do it. Just to make sure you.
I'll tell you, it is the truth, and it has gotten me to either do one of two things. Right now, I think I'm going to start searching around for local auto parts stores again because I've kind of put that on the wayside because getting parts was so much easier. Things were showing up in a couple of days; it was never a problem.
All right.
And what I've come to realize is also Amazon is the one that is not having too much trouble with shipping as much as the others. So I've been gravitating to Amazon first. If Amazon doesn't have it, then I go right to a local. But yes, what are we doing?
I'll tell you what else is easier. We're going to the phones and going to the fun and saying, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
It's about time. No, it's Paul.
What's happening, Paul? I was just going to talk about you.
Uh-oh. What's up, my brother?
What's happening with you guys?
Oh, you know, nothing.
Same old thing.
You have the story.
Doing an obscure gardening show. You know what it
is. Yes, I know. Well, that was the thing. I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Yeah. Well, you have the story of the week, so tell us what you did this weekend.
I went to Englishtown, the slowly dying swap meet.
Yeah. Oh, it's still going on?
it's still going, but it's shrinking. It's really
sad. What did you buy? Did you buy socks? Tell me that. You bought socks.
No, I didn't buy socks. I just bought sandpaper.
You bought sandpaper?
I was going to buy a pair of work pants, but I couldn't even find that guy.
What? He's not even there.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a pair now.
Are you? Yeah.
Yes.
My pair had holes in it.
I'm wearing my work pants right now. That's right.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, mine had holes. I was trying to get a fresh pair, but he wasn't there.
Wow.
Like, where am I going to shop for my fashion accessories?
I know. Well, you got a fashion accessory on the seat of your car, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Tell us.
I took the Doom Buggy. Decided to take the Doom Buggy over because I wanted to have it there at least once before this goes away.
Right.
You know, so I went, and the show was actually, it was a little bit smaller. The car show was definitely a little bit smaller than usual. They actually called it early. They called it around 2:30 or so, usually they don't.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, that's good because I didn't have to sit around the whole day waiting for that.
Yeah, sure.
But, I did my shopping and I did the show. And I ended up with one of the top 10 People's Choice Awards.
That's great.
Hey!
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I wasn't in the top 5, so I didn't get the trophy. I got the plaque. But, hey, that's good.
All right.
Yeah, I have proof that I was at Englishtown.
What did the competition – well, that's good, so your wife knows where you were. What did the competition look like?
It was a number of things. It was a bunch of nice Chevelles. It was a couple of nicely done street rods, you know, Flames and all the stuff like that. There was a handful of new cars. It was one AC Cobra kit car. Bunch of things. A few tuner cars, a bunch of trucks, a couple of custom trucks, you know, a bunch of things like that. Some of the stuff was, I mean, you know, it's like the typical thing, I guess, with a lot of the home builds and things where, you know, they look great, you know, until you really start picking at them.
Yeah.
You know, and you see, like, one guy had a truck there, a Ford with like a purple, flip-flop paint job on it, which was okay. It was cool looking, but it was a little much, but he had like this custom, like exhaust coming out the sides. He had the big rectangular, openings on the sides through the ground effects, and it was a cool look. But the only problem was the tips were all lopsided and crooked, so yeah. It made it look bad. You know, little things like that.
Yeah, details. Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's tough, man. But yeah, it was good. I mean, I froze my butt going there in the morning. Yeah. It was 59 when I left here.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I got to see a pretty sunrise. What? Yeah, no top.
You see, you should have talked to me. I could have loaned you my heated motorcycle gear, the jacket liner that I have in the pants, and it's just 12 volts. You know, mm-hmm. There's a thermostat that goes with it. You plug it into a power port for 12 volts, and you're good to go. You'd be toasty.
Yeah, yeah, that would be good. Actually, I got heated seats in the buggy.
Oh, right, that's
so,
right.
So they helped. I mean, I had a flannel shirt, sweatshirt, heated seats. But my hands were frozen.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I got to do a heated wheel.
Like, there you
wire
go.
That in. Yeah. You know. Wow. But I got to see a beautiful sunrise along the Belt Parkway.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
going there. It was good. It was a good run there. On the way home, I had issues.
I bet.
I came over the Outer Bridge, and as I came over the Outer Bridge into Staten Island, you know, going over to 440. You know how rough the road is there.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I was scooting along at a good clip, and I'm hitting the bumps. I should have slowed down. I'm hitting the bumps, and the buggy's shaking. I mean, shaking all over bad. All of a sudden, my generator light comes on, and my whole instrument panel goes dead.
Wow.
Oh. I'm like, oh, no.
And you have good connections in that thing, too.
Yes, but the thing kept running.
Okay.
Kept running, you know. I mean, when I built the harness, I isolated two things, the ignition system and the emergency flasher system.
Okay.
Are completely isolated from the harness. You know, this way, if something was to die, at least I know my emergency flashers have a direct line to the battery.
Yeah.
So short of the battery going dead, I'll always have them. You know, and just to get on a side thing real quick, the reason I did that was years ago, I was listening to the Police Scanner one night, and a car that the dispatcher came on and said there was a car broken down on the LIE near Little Neck Parkway with no lights, had no lights.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the cops got there, the guy was already rear-ended.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he had nothing. He couldn't put a merch in nothing. So after that, I said, you know, that would always be a good idea is to direct feed at least emergency flashers. They have their own fuse, separate right off the battery, you know, because that's a totally isolated system.
Right.
So,
it's very smart.
You know, so I know I'll have those, you know, if nothing else.
Yeah,
but right. Bottom line is the thing kept running. I mean, my volt gauge was showing me 9 volts.
Uh-oh.
And I was dying. But you know what? It turns out I don't think it was accurate because the thing kept going, and I didn't dare shut it down. I didn't want to slow down because I'm like, this thing's going to run. I'm going to drive it. And it happened, like I said, right after the Outer Bridge. I kept going. I got caught, of course, typical, you know, Staten Island Expressway traffic I was caught in, and I'm dying. I'm like, please, don't die. I made it to the Verrazano. I got over to Verrazano. I got on the belt. By the time I hit roughly Coney Island Avenue, Knapp Street, right around there, the traffic just died, and I crawled all the way to the Queens Line.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. But it kept going, so I just kept driving. But I had no dash. I had no signals. No brake lights. No horn.
No brake.
Nothing.
Lights. Yeah.
Because everything's on that system.
Yeah.
Right. So what was the problem? What caused it?
Well, how do you know I already figured it out?
Well, because I know you.
Yeah, we knew when you got home that before you went in the house, that was the first thing you did.
I'm sure you figured it out on the way home.
Well, I did figure it out. But it turns out I have a feeder underneath, and I'm using it's the feeder that comes off, you know, all the switched accessories, and it goes. It's a the connector I'm using for that is not a locking connector.
Oh yeah,
it's one of those high current sexless connectors.
Right.
So you know, they lock, they do snap together, but I guess the shaking was enough to pop these things loose. It didn't come completely apart. It just popped loose.
Yep.
So I got under there, and I know that connector gave me trouble once a long time ago. So I got under there, first thing this morning, actually, grabbed it, gave it a squeeze, and the dash came to life. And I'm like, you gotta be. So now, I'm looking for some new high current locking connector to change that out.
That shouldn't be too hard to find. Yeah.
I was going to say zip tie will work just fine.
Well, I was thinking, your zip tie closed, yeah.
Well, you really can't. The style. I'll send you a picture of the connector. The way it's designed, you can't.
Okay.
Too bad.
I could wrap it with electrical tape, just to keep it from, backing off. But I'm going to look for a better quality, maybe either a snap type or a screw type connector, because it's a main feeder, and it's a heavier gauge wire. It's like 10 gauge wire or something. So I forget what I used, but. I'm going to definitely get myself a heavy, some kind of positive locking connector.
Good idea. All right. Well, listen, that's why I say, that's when, people say, hey, your car's done. Like, no, it's not. It's never done. There's always something that creeps up, especially when you have something fully apart and you redo it from the ground up. There's always something you're going to have to do. So.
Yeah, yeah. But the one good thing was I didn't lose the stereo.
Yeah, we don't need brake lights on the Bell Parkway. Yeah.
No, not. Believe me, not that I dare use a stereo, because I didn't know if the battery. Turns out, I think the battery was actually charging.
Right.
Because when I got the car home, I pulled it in the driveway. I rolled it in, and I said, I shut it off, and I said, I just want to see if the starter even engages. But I hit the key, and it started right up.
Wow. Okay.
So I was like, wow. I said, so the charging system was obviously running. It was just that because I lost the connection to the dash, all the gauges just went flat.
Because they feed off of that. Yeah. Okay.
True. Yeah.
That makes sense. So, all right.
But I had generator light and everything. I'm going to now look at my schematic and say, see if I can figure out why did it do that.
Right.
Because the generator light, that thing, if it's not putting out and the regulator doesn't engage, it's got that mechanical regulator, you get a light.
Yes.
So unless it found a path, through the ground a different way and with the light, that's all I can think.
Right.
But hey, it kept me going. It got me home. That's all I care.
Wow.
Excellent.
That's all you care about. Excitement abound on the way to English Town.
Modern success story.
Yeah. But one other thing, you know what I do? I always do before I go on a trip like that with the buggy. I did it when I went to the Poconos. I have the tow bar for the buggy, and those magnetic stick on lights and everything.
Yeah.
I load everything into my truck.
Okay.
So my truck is ready to go. If God forbid something happens, I can call here and say, get in my truck and just drive over here.
Right.
What's that?
That is super smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See how
and
much
that's how you
myself?
Can, Paul, that's how you can guarantee you're not going to get stuck.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Once you're set up for getting stuck, you're never going to get stuck.
Yeah.
Very true.
This was the closest I came so far. And I didn't realize I got this thing on the road now.
It's a while.
Seven going on 8 years.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that's amazing. Time you were coming back from Whitestone and you lost your ignition, that was kind of dicey.
Yeah.
I mean that was a propensity for disaster. Of course, you had your wife with you, so that's even worse.
Yeah, right. Well, that was a fault of the freaking ignition parts, and those are brand new parts. I changed out the cap and the rotor, and everything came back perfect. I put on an original Bosch cap and rotor that I took off a distributor from a motor I dug out of the dirt.
Well, Paul, you have to remember Joe whenever that happens. And you know what Joe said?
Guys, we all know what new spells
never, ever work.
That's right.
There you go. I don't know how many times we can repeat that one, but
that's true. That's true.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. You're right, guys.
Amazing. I'm going to let you go because I know this phone's on fire over there, and I don't want to hold it up.
Thanks, Paul.
I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you soon.
Take care, Paul. Always a pleasure. Good story.
All right. So we're at the bottom of the hour, and I tell you something. We have to talk about Law You Should Know, which is another show on this fine station, right?
Yes.
You remember the promo. I know you're playing it in your head right now.
Exactly. The funny thing is, on Long Island, it's Lore You Should Know.
Right. Well, this show airs Wednesdays at 3 p.m., and of course, you can learn valuable information about the law from attorney Ken Landau and his expert guests. It's concerning all areas of the law, including criminal wills and real estate. Find out about your right to sue and what to do if you are sued. So we don't get sued now. Do we have a honor group of the hour? Because we don't want those guys coming after us if we don't mention them.
Of course we do. Yes, today, this week, we have the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. If you've collected everything associated with your old car, yes, I know car collectors are a very unique bunch. If you have all the service items, owner's manual, shop manual, body service manual, color and options brochure, and sales catalogs for your vehicle, if you have spare parts loaded up in boxes just in case one of those parts on the vehicle just happens to break, then you would be ready with the replacement part right away. If you have all the clothes, the t-shirts, the long sleeve crew necks, the polo shirts, all with your favorite versions of logos for your car, even if you still sport the red or black sateen jacket dedicated to your vehicle, you know who you are, Corvette and Trans Am guys.
Cadillac.
If you have all the die-cast and plastic models, collector plates, light-up signs, coffee mugs, welcome mats, shoelaces, all associated with your vehicle, you are part of the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour this week. Just don't try to go and move it all. That's all.
And we have people like that. And I know, I'm thinking of one guy in particular who definitely, I know you know who he is, got all that cool stuff. So you're right.
I can think of a couple of them.
So with that, let's take a quick break. We'll do a little take care of a spot here and play a little promo. And then we'll start off with my one of my favorites from the 60s, Frigid Pink, because it's just such a cold day out there, right? Best version of this song I think was ever made on Motor Mouth Radio. We'll be back. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and keep what we got it on 90.3 WHPC. Hit it!
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limerick and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Oh.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Motor Mouth!
You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
How are you, Ray?
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
No, hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Motor Mouth!
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No, I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evan Root.
As always, you are consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming. I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Oh, this is why I call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Motor Mouth!
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHBC.
Motor Mouth!
This is Motor Mouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show. And now, here are your Motor Mouths, Chris Switzer and Ray Guarino.
Oh, yeah. What does he need? A That's all we need to, a suitcase in a trunk, and then we're out of here. We'll pack our stuff, we'll get the heck out of here, and we'll go pick up stuff to swap meet that doesn't exist because they're not existing anymore. So,
right. But we do need Christmas tree egg fresheners at the swap meet, or
you know,
or comic books, or a new watch or a pocket knife at the Englishtown swap meet, which
I buy all my Christmas tree air fresheners when I go down south, because in Tennessee and North Carolina, they have them all. Let's go back to the phones and back to the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing on this fine September day?
Ah, hey, Skip, how are you doing? It's a very, very nice day up here. I hope it's good by you,
yeah,
too.
Oh, it's gorgeous down here. It's just, you get too much gorgeous, I think, is what happens after a while. But that's a redundant statement, so I'll retract it. I had something to run by you, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, but I know you guys have the pulse, your finger on the pulse of stuff, so you probably are aware of it.
So
recently, I've been involved with what's called hydro dipping.
Oh yes, very, very. Yeah, we're aware of that. Yeah. In fact,
and the issue came up because I've been doing a lot of work on actually both the Nomads. The Purple Nomad, as you know, is up in New York being worked on, and part of the work that was being done is a lot of electrical work, and the dashboard was all torn apart, and the gauges redone, and all rewiring, and it was a rat's nest, and stuff was pulled out and thrown out. And the fun part was, when the car was originally done, I had given him a brand new complete wire harness, and the car had been gutted, so there was no reason for all of this other stuff that really was dead-ended, went nowhere, wires pulling out of connectors. It was just terrible. The work was just not of the quality that I paid for, let's say.
This might be a dopey, redundant, kind of stupid question, but I'm sure people are asking it to the radio right now. I almost feel stupid asking it. If you gave them a new harness, why didn't they put it in?
You know, I've been asking the same question myself, and I'm the one that gave him the harness.
I know. You're at the worst end of it.
I've lost so many hours of sleep trying to figure that out because it just doesn't make any sense at all when you think about it. It was a 21 circuit harness, so it had enough for everything that was being done in the vehicle. That's why I purchased it. Mm. It was just a matter of plugging it in, laying it out, and just connecting wires and going about your business. They felt they had a better way of doing it, I guess, and they rerouted and changed. I even found out that I got the Leverlink system for the windshield wiper system, which is phenomenal. I love it. And there were wires, I found out, wrapped around that Leverlink system. So as the wipers were moving, the wires were being moved and chafed and so forth. I mean, just it would take 15 different shows to even touch on all the ludicrousy that went on with this build.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's being straightened out now, and I have full faith in my electrician that's doing it up there now. And part of it is once he pulled the dash out and all the gauges and everything, I had that wrapped with a carbon fiber film.
Yeah.
And the same thing, I had a dash pod on where the speaker goes that had four gauges in it. That was also fiberglass and wrapped with the carbon fiber wrap. The thing is, it's very hard to put on without getting any kind of wrinkle or imperfection in it. And I had it done by a body shop, and they did it the best they could to their ability, I guess, as that goes. So, with that being said, after we got involved in all of this and he was looking at the stuff, he asked me if I had something else I wanted to do it with, because I had bought some new wrap. I had sent that to him, and then he came up with the hydro dip idea, which sounded phenomenal, because I have a dash insert that I bought for the car that looks to have been possibly hydro dipped, is the only way I could figure they have the pattern on it. And we wanted to match that. And I've gone crazy going through different companies trying to match that pattern that I have. The only thing is, I haven't come close to it. It's been totally different. I finally came up with something after buying three different types of wrap, a dip film, that I think we're going to now go with because it seems to be the best option. It's a little lighter. It's got a little more silver in it. It's not a total carbon fiber look, but it's a little different look. It'll pull in the white from the interior plus the purple black from the dash and so forth. So I think it's going to be a good compliment. But this hydro dipping, when I started researching it and looking at it and everything else, it really seems to be something that's a great art form, so to speak. And then I found out they do prosthetic limbs with it. They do hard hats. I mean, there isn't anything that you can't really dip, I guess, other than maybe your loved one or whatever.
You but, probably could do that, too.
I guess without getting caught, hopefully.
Right.
But I think the hardest thing was finding people that do it. Now, the guy up on Long Island that's doing the car, he only found someone in Buffalo.
Wow.
And he didn't want to, you know, go through that with the shipping and all the other crap and expense and whatnot. I happened to find a guy right here, local to me, actually the guy that's been working on the car that did some paint work for me, and actually the guy that did the 66 Vet that did the complete body work and paint job on that car. He does hydro dipping right out of his body shop.
Okay.
Now, when we talk about hydro dipping, Skip, we're talking about taking a 3D object and dipping it in paint and pulling it out slowly so it creates the graphic on the object, correct? That's what
correct.
That's
what, it's a process where it goes into a heated tank.
Right.
It goes to a specific temperature, and I'm not familiar what that is, but the film goes on the top of the liquid. It's cordoned off so that it just fits perfectly within your framework. The item is dipped straight down in and pulled out so that it comes up facing you with the dipped area. You go in with the dipped area down and you come out with the dipped area up. Right. And the pattern lays on beautifully. It's perfect, and there's no runs, drips, or errors, so to speak. Yeah, and then there's a catalyst they have to spray on top of the film before you dip it, and then it's got to dry, and then I think they might even put a clear on it. I'm not sure yet.
Mm-hmm. I'll ask, actually, the caller we had just before this, our friend Paul, I know he's played with that stuff, and I'll ask around, because I thought there was someone out here on the island who was doing it. It was about 2 years ago that I heard about it. And
well, somebody told my buddy that one of the motorcycle shops was doing it, and then he got in contact with them, and they said, no, they don't do it anymore. And a couple other people that he talked to said that they did do it, but they don't do it anymore. And I don't see what the big thing is, because the tank isn't that big. I mean, you can get a big tank for big parts, depending on the size parts you're going to do. If you're going to do inside trim or something, you know, you'd need a 6-foot tank or whatever, a 4-foot tank, 5-foot tank. But I've seen them online. You can buy the whole starter kit, so to speak, for like under $5,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're in business. You can do it out of your garage.
Right. I guess, you know, from a shop's perspective, if they have something that'll handle smaller parts, the next thing is someone's going to want a bigger part to match. And then if they can't handle that, it means the outlay. So that may be the sticking point. But,
well, with that, too, to that end, when I was watching the videos on it, the guys that I saw were like more, I would say, commercial type doing it. And they had big, you know, 8-10 foot tanks or whatever. And they were doing everything and anything. I mean, these were the guys that showed the prosthetic limbs, the hard hats, and it was endless what you could do and what the designs of the films and everything were. It was only limited probably to your imagination. I think they can even print things if you gave them a design.
Yeah.
You know, they could come up and make your design on a film if you had to.
These days in a digital world, if you can import the graphic, it can be imported into the program and created. So, yeah, it could be almost anything, you know.
I'm happy to see the outcome on it myself, because I think it's going to raise it to another level from just, you know, a film on the parts. I think it's going to make it look a little cleaner and more custom and more what do I want to say? The next level of, okay, of amateur, shall I say, you know?
All right. Yeah, you know,
I'm hoping anyway.
Getting backing up in the conversation, back to the harness. I got to say, I've done a couple of harness jobs already, both ways, with the original stuff that I had to fix, and then with the replacement. And those, it's so nice working with a replacement harness. Those things are dead. If you go to a good company, which most of them are, they're just so dead nuts perfect. It's like,
well, you know, Ray, the thing of it was the harness, every wire is labeled every 6 inches.
No, that's what I mean. There's,
you can't. It's almost idiot proof. But I take that back, because in this case, it wasn't.
That's what I'm saying. As a guy who's done that work, I would love to say, to walk in and they say, hey, this is what you got to do today. I'd be like, great, because
it's golden.
I mean, the worst part is, of course, when you have to get up. Like, usually the dash is out of the car, so you can do a lot of the back work on, you know, on a bench, and then you have to climb under there for some of the stuff. That becomes the worst part of the job. But otherwise, hook up and everything. So for a shop not to want to do that and choose not to, and then turn the product out, is just lunacy. It really is.
And you got to remember, when I brought them the car, it was a shell.
Right.
It was the car was totally gutted. I mean, all they had to do was run the lines from the front to the back of the car.
Yeah.
Any which way they had to go, and it would have been, and nothing was loomed, nothing was, you know, put in surgically. It was just like the guy I'm using just constantly used the word, it was a rat's nest.
It was
just a total freaking rat's nest. He showed me, I have a picture, there was a pile of wire on the floorboard that it was just, this is all the stuff he took out wasn't needed, that was in excess.
Oh, yeah, over the years it builds up. You know, it was funny, a couple of years ago I was doing a job for Mike, and I was trying to talk him into a replacement harness, and, you know, we were going back and forth on why to do it, why not to do it. And he said, wait a minute. He goes, I know the harness in your car is an older harness. And, you know, he thought he had me nailed to the wall. I'm like, yeah, it is. I said, it's actually the product of two older harnesses. He goes, well, how come that's good enough? I'm like, yeah, I went through it wire by wire.
Right.
I just sat there and, you know, and I replaced what I had to replace, because I that was what I chose to do. I said, I have total confidence in that harness. And I said, it still doesn't mean you shouldn't get a new one. We didn't. We ended up fixing his.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but when I had my Fiat X19 and I was working on the headlight door, and I had put the headlight door all together and whatever, and all of a sudden I notice a wire burning from the headlight door going in through the fender well in the front of the car where it's wide open, and it's going up toward the battery box. Now, the battery box was in the middle of the firewall, well, not the firewall in that car, but the dash wall, and in the middle. And it was a sealed box. It had a cover on it and nut and bolt, and you needed a wrench to get it off.
Right.
So I couldn't even pull the battery cable. All I did was sit there watching this harness burn, going up, and then all of a sudden it was behind the dash. The whole inside of the car filled with smoke because the windows were closed. It was all concealed. And I wound up redoing that whole harness from the front to the dash with all new separate wires, running every separate wire and doing all of that. And back then it was doable. I didn't mind doing it. Today, I'll pay someone to do it. It's not.
No, that's smart. It's funny because I had the same type of instance on my Fiat where a wire was burning. It was right after my co-host touched something under the hood that was electrical.
I do not know what you speak of, sir.
And on the way home, the smoke started coming through. I'm like, that acrid, you know when wire is burning. I'm like, Chris!
Oh, yeah.
And I got it home. I wasn't going to stop on the highway. I actually got it home, opened the hood, and saw what it was, and was able to circumvent it and make the repair. I still have that piece of wire. I have it at home. I saved it as a memento.
I still don't know what I touched.
I didn't keep that wire. You know I keep everything, but that wire I didn't keep. But the one thing I did keep as a memento was the fan motor that I ran over with the 82 Corvette and punched a hole in the oil pan with.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah,
that one I still have.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
That's but it's all good.
Good stuff. But yeah, the Hydro Dip, I think, is definitely, I'm surprised there aren't more places doing it. I'll look around here, see if I can find something.
That's the way I feel, because I think, especially in today's age with the way guys are doing things and customizing things and everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, even if a guy just set up at a booth at a swap meet or a car show, well, swap meet's not so much anymore. You'd have to have a vacuum cleaner with it or something. But
right, right.
Other than that, you know, when you go to a car show, this would be something that I think guys would be interested in. Mm-hmm. although, I don't know, maybe people know about it and don't want to get involved either. And
yeah, I don't know. Like I said, that, you know, in the motorcycle world, it's big. Guys are doing helmets.
Yes.
They're doing, oh, you name it on the bike, they're doing it. It's
yep.
So, yeah, I'll look into that aspect of it, too. I'll give Gerard a call, see if he has any, if he knows of anybody.
Yeah, he'd be the guy to know in the bike world, sure.
I really don't. I just talked to him this week. I don't really think so, because the stuff that I've seen in the shop recently doesn't have that. His clientele is older now. You know,
right.
They're all pretty
much.
They're pretty much like 60 and above. It's like maybe there's a couple 50-year-olds in there, and there's a smattering of 40-year-olds. But yeah,
those kids
and you know that crowd goes more traditional with stuff like that. But you know, he still may. And I'll ask Christian, because Christian at Long Island Racing, he's a guy who would definitely know. So yeah,
sounds more like your local Corvette club with all the white-haired Corvette owners.
Exactly. So yeah, I'll reach out. I'll ask a few questions and see what comes back. Sure.
Yeah, I'd be curious to find out because, like I said, I know when my buddy Mike was looking to find some place on the island, everything was dead ended, and I think he even went on Facebook and put questions up, and who knows of a place, and you know, nothing was coming back, so it was kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah, I'll throw it out and see what comes back. I'll let you know.
Awesome. All right, guys, have a great day, rest of the day, and enjoy your nice weather.
All right, Skip. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Well. Take care,
right,
Skip.
Bye. All right, that was that takes us to the. Almost to the top of the hour in this show, Chris. We're going to be getting out of here so Kim can come in and do Thunder Road, Best of Springsteen, and Everybody Plays with the Band. Make sure you listen to that. I know you will. She probably has a birthday celebration show today, does she?
Well, it was tough because I did it last week, sort of.
Right. Well,
it's on Thursday. It was on Thursday. So I might still mention stuff. There's a couple other things I didn't get to play. So.
I'm sure there'll be a few surprises if you keep it tuned in and keep where you got it. So like I had said earlier, next week we should be talking with Jack from R1 Concepts, the aftermarket brake company. Check them out. R1Concepts. It's not the word one. .com. That's their website, and you'll see if they have brakes for your car or truck or vehicle. They just might. And good stuff. I'm driving with it now, and break-in period was very easy. Well, ceramic pads are really easy to break in. It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So we should basically be talking to him, and Carl Anthony after that, and you know, and we'll just roll it as it goes. So
I like it.
All right. So Chris, what do we say to everybody who's out in the parking lot right now waiting for me?
Like Jesse John always says, follow us home.
That's his new tagline.
And watch what you hydro dip.
Yeah, it's his new tagline on a Thursday night's playing in traffic. You're right. All right, Chris. For Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, we'll be back next week. More Motor Mouth Radio. We'll see you then.
See you, bye.
Keep it where you got it. 90.3 WHPC. Bye.